Hello everyone, welcome once again to Media Planning and Buying Chapter 2, in which we'll be covering media basics and consumer behavior. But before that, let's get to know me. I am Tarun Makhija, co-founder and CEO of BigMau Digital and Media. I'm an IT engineer turned digital marketer who loves to work out and who loves to eat food. I can travel to the moon for food as well. I'm somebody who's a lecturer, speaker, and believer of spreading positive vibes and a smile wherever I go. And last but not the least, I'm also the host of the podcast called Be Limitless with Tarun Makhija and the Instagram live show called Tarun Ke Saath. Coming back to media basics and consumer behavior. Now, what all will we be covering in this chapter? Number one is fundamentals of the target market. Number two is the tools to tag and analyze the TG or the target group. Introduction to the target group. For any media planner, exposure of message to the right audience is the most important thing. Your entire media plan will go down the drain if you don't reach out to the right target group or the right target market. To get the right concept of the right target market and the right target audience is of utmost importance in any media planning plan that you do. Here the target audience or the target group is the most important thing that you will ever come across in your media plan. If your TG is not clear or your media planner doesn't know the TG, then every penny in your media planning is a sheer waste. I repeat, if you're not clear about your TG, or you, when you're planning about your entire media plan, you're still a little unsure about your TG, your entire budget in media planning goes down the drain. Media planning basically has the very two crucial aspects. First is buying cost-effective media, and second, planning to reach to the right TG. First is buying cost-effective media. Second is planning for reaching to the right target group. First one is more or less common to each agency. Planning is the area where any agency or planner can make the difference. Yes, it's all about planning the right way and then implementation, of course. A target market is basically a group of customers or consumers towards which a business has decided to aim its marketing efforts and ultimately its merchandise. Now, you and I are definitely the target audience or the target market of specifically certain products or certain brands for sure. A target audience is a specific group of people within the target market at which a product or the marketing message of the product is aimed at, according to Kotler. Now, when you say the target audience, it defines a particular set of people within the target market. A target audience can be formed from, you know, various things like the target audience's age group, gender, marital status, for example, teenagers, females, single people, or a combination of factors like men between 20 to 30, or another example being women aged between 30 to 40, or who are mothers, or who are browsing about certain products which are related to babies, and much more. But a target audience is a combination of the age group, the gender, the marital status, and a lot of other things. Your interests, the kind of phone you use, everything can be targeted. Now, the discovering the appropriate target market and determining the target audience is one of the most important activities in marketing management. The biggest mistake is possibly to make in the targeting is trying to reach out to everybody and appealing to no one in the end. I would want to tell you a very interesting thing over here. If everybody is your audience, then nobody is your audience. I'll tell you why. Let's say, for example, this is a product which needs to be sold to everybody. No. It only needs to be sold to specific people who do a lot of presentations, who do a lot of speeches, who do a lot of keynote sessions. That is where you want to reach out to, not to somebody studying in school or to somebody who's in her late 40s, who's a housewife, or a male who's just going to office, or a person who's doing something else. So make sure that your target audience is very, very, very well defined, and it's not a combination of everybody, but some people out of the entire target group. Now, when it comes to the consumer understanding, we'll understand basically the human needs and what exactly are they requiring, so that we can target and show them that kind of things that they actually need through our effective targeted marketing plans and methods. Your consumers are not fully aware of their own underlying motivations. You know, they don't even know a lot of things on their own. We have to feed them certain information for telling them that this is what you have, this is what you can get, and this is how it will benefit you. And if we can answer this very important question, that what's in it for me, the consumer needs to understand what's in it for him or her in that product or that service, then they will definitely not shy away from investing or buying your product. Putting this thing in a marketing context, it's clear that a brand or an organization, both an identity and a personality. A brand or an organization has both an identity and a personality. When we ask consumers why they buy a brand, they respond very rationally and they often describe the brand's identity. So what happens is, let's assume that you or some of you buy Apple products. Now, why do you buy an Apple product? According to Steve Jobs, it's not just the phone that you buy or the watch that you buy. You buy it because it is a social status. Yes, that's exactly why a lot of people buy Apple products. Not for the usage of that product, but because it's a social status. That is where you need to understand the consumer and why is the consumer actually buying the product. Taking another example, when did you buy a shoe, for example, from Nike? You buy a Nike shoe because Nike only shows emotions in athletes and sportsmen and sportswomen in their ads. They never focus on the consumer. They never focus on the specific product. They never focus on how amazing their product is, but they focus on winning, sportsmanship, about how team can win together, and many more. So you buy the brand because you like the personality of the brand, right? And obviously the product is amazing, no doubt about that. The brand also has a personality, which has some intangible traits that differentiate it from its competitors, which we experience but cannot easily verbalize. Now, why do I say that? Is because these particular personality traits of a brand can be only felt, can't be showed to you, or can't be sent to you, or can't be expressed to you. You can only feel when you wear a, let's say, like a brand which you personally love, you feel better. Or when you buy something from a brand that you love, you feel better. It cannot be put into words, but yes, that's an intangible identity of the brand or the personality of the brand. Effective media planning requires an understanding of how the consumers experience a particular brand. Because if your consumer's experience of the brand is not as great as you would want to be, then your media planning is not really proper. The message which is coming across to the consumer has to be the way it's supposed to be made and the way it's supposed to be communicated, and exactly what the message is needs to be communicated as it is. Now, ways for consumer understanding. We'll be bifurcating the consumer into five sections. One is SECs, the socio-economic classification. Second is LSM, which is the living standard measures. Third is the demographics. Fourth is the psychographics. Fifth is the VALS segmentation. SEC, or socio-economic classification, is the most commonly and the most widely used term amongst marketers and media planners for consumer understanding. The SECs referred here are on to all share in the common. The SECs are basically referred to the idea that in the market economies, the SECs referred here are to the share in the common idea that in the market economies, it is market position and specially position in the occupational division of labor, which is fundamental to the generation of structured inequalities. The life changes of an individual's and the families are largely determined by their position in the market, and occupation is taken to be its central indicator. That is, the occupational structure is the backbone of the stratification system. Sometimes the SECs are referred to, especially in the American literature, as occupational status scales. This is very confusing because SECs do not all claim to measure either occupation or status. Now, when it comes to the SECs, it basically is defined as the people according to the kind of degrees they are achieving, according to the kind of education they have, according to the kind of livelihood they live, according to what kind of work they do, and a lot of different things in the most simple way possible. Now, old SEC, urban. In India, SEC is a common parameter used by businesses to understand consumption potential in the Indian population. The old urban SEC classification is a combination of education level and occupation of the chief wage earner of the household. Now, in terms of different systems and different Indian households, they are split across SECs A1, A2, B1, B2, C, D, E1 and E2, in which the only couple of factors into consideration are the educational level and the occupation of the chief wage earner of the household. Now, in terms of the old SEC urban methods, what we try to do is we bifurcate them into different ways, into different sections. According to this, you can refer to the table in which you can see wherein somebody who is a graduate and is the primary wage earner as well is termed as somebody in the A1 department. Somebody who is illiterate is termed in the B1. And there are different categories where you can classify the audience and the consumers into. The rural sector is thereon divided into SEC R1, R2, R3 and R4. Calculated as the function of educational qualifications, again, of the chief wage earner or the CWE, and the type of household they stay in, which is pakka, semi-pakka or kacha. In rurals, this is the only difference. The education qualification of the chief wage earner remains same. And second thing over here we need to consider is the household that the person stays in, which is a semi-pakka, pakka or a kacha. Now, jumping on to the new SEC. New SEC system is classified as households in India, but rather than using education and occupation, the new SEC uses education of the chief wage earner and a number of consumer durables from a predefined list which are owned by the family. Now, one is the education. Second is what kind of consumer durables the person has within the family. The list basically has about 11 items ranging from electrical connection to agricultural lands to cars, ACs, all the basic amenities which you or I might have. The new SEC basically has 12 grades in the new SEC system ranging from A1 to E3. Now, the new SEC is what you should be following and taking into consideration when you're trying to classify your consumers. Let's take an example. For example, the first place it would be checking the entire list of the consumers and what all they have. Like for example, if they have an electrical connection, if they have an LPG stove, ceiling fans, color TVs, all the basic amenities, if they have an agricultural land, or they also have something which is a good educational qualification, which is like a graduate, or at the very least, a 12th pass person is going to be classified from A1 to E3. And you basically have to just get this data and accordingly specify your consumer, where the consumer lands and what kind of product you're marketing to what kind of audience. And the enumerator has to basically count all the possessions by the respondent, and he arrives at the number of standards owned. Finally, the SEC is then calculated depending upon the education. Thus, these are the following factors that you need to consider. The new SEC is segregated into 12 groups based on inputs on these two parameters, from A1, A2, A3 to B1, B2, C1, C2, D1, D2, E1, E2 and E3. These 12 groups are applicable to both urban and rural India, combining the old SEC and the urban SEC into one SEC, which is called the new SEC. Again, the new SEC, just to make you understand, is very simple. If you refer the table, you will understand that, for example, if a person is a graduate or a postgraduate, and if the number of standards owned in the house is 8, then using the new SEC, the person will be classified as A2 in your table, if you can refer the same. Now, the new SEC also fares much, much above the old SEC, as this one talks about consumption and not on education and profession only. Consumption or buying habit may vary within one SEC and new SEC. GRID is able to capture the buying sentiments. The stratification is not based upon the education but buying decision taken in the past, because what you're trying to sell over here is the product, and that does not really mean if the consumer is not very, very, very well educated. He will still require a basic TV, AC, fridge, a TV cable connection or the internet connection and a lot of other regular consumables in the house. That is where the new SEC is much, much better, and that is why it helps you making the right media plan, because you will now understand that what kinds of consumers will be doing the buying for your product depending on the buying decisions that they have already taken in the past. Moving forward, we'll come on to the LSM, which is the living standard measure. There are two versions widely used. The first one was developed by the SAARF, which is the South African Audience Research Foundation, and AC Nelson in 2006. The LSM is the new classification method to segment the customer base. It's by itself very self-explanatory, that it defines and bifurcates the consumer on measuring the living standards. It's basically used by many companies in India and abroad to classify and bifurcate their audiences, and further on which understanding what kind of products to market to whom. HUL, which is Hindustan Unilever, is one of the most prominent examples of the same, which is using LSM to classify their consumers. It basically tells how the consumer lives, the living standards, and the kind of way the consumer, the kind of purchases the consumer has made in the past, the kind of living style the consumer has, how much does a person travel, what are the kind of different things they take into consideration when they buy something, and a lot of other things. It basically is a very useful method for segmenting the market before targeting the specific segments. We need to know what kind of segments we need to target depending again on the LSM, which helps us in making the entire target market much, much more defined and understanding the consumer much better. The TG is evaluated based on the ownership of certain facilities and conveniences by the customer. The parameters are assigned a score between 1 to 10. Now, the LSM parameters can be as simple as the hot running water, the fridge, microwave oven, a VCR, a PC in the house, electric stuff, and many more. The list goes on and on. You can refer this diagram on your slides. So the LSM is basically evaluated based on the ownership of certain facilities by the customer, such as the TV, the DVD, iPod, laptop, DTH, and many, many more. The parameters may vary across geographies and cultures. For instance, VCR as a facility is outdated in India as well as developed nations and is therefore not used as a parameter. Similarly, hot running water is not an amenity in India, more likely to be a luxury than, say, in the US. Again, these are things which keep on changing and keep on updating. Thus, you need to only make sure that the consumer falls into the LSM category when you understand what kind of things or facilities the consumer owns in the house. That is exactly when you will understand if the person or the consumer needs to be bifurcated and put into the LSM or not. Accordingly, what happens is all these parameters, they're giving weights from values of customers between 1 to 10 can be defined. And LSM is just basically a different but quite a useful method of segmenting your market before targeting the specific segments. Thus, LSM is more widely used compared to the SECs.